and welcome to episode 30 of A View from the Dugout with myself, Chris, from Surrey on the Budget. And I'm joined tonight by the great and powerful Wizard of Scotland, Surrey. It's Ross. How are you tonight, sir?
Magical.
Magical. On the yellow brick road to stardom, some would say. It's been a busy week for Surrey, I guess, which maybe not for football front, but it certainly has been for launches and things. So without further ado, Russ, shall we jump straight into a little bit of the NBA launch?
Yeah, absolutely. You alerted me to the video. I hadn't had time until today to see it. I had kept an eye just on the basic elements of the launch, and I seen the LeBron James card sell and things like that. But do you know what? I have to totally applaud Surrey. It was seemed like quite a slick launch. I watched the video with Jay Williams. I thought he presented it really, really well. I thought it was really good presentation, slick, good, quite informative. And quite a few good takes, just from what I understand, and I'm not going to profess to know lots and understand lots about the game yet, but I've had a little look and was quite impressed. What are you thinking?
Likewise, I thought it was a really great touch to have somebody who presents, you know, basketball programs in the States be the guy who's presenting the brand new product. I think it's something that would catch, you know, Americans' attention. No offense to Ryan Spoon, but if he was doing the whole presentation, how many folk are going to buy into it? Whereas, you know, here's a known figure in the basketball world presenting it, and it was so slick. You know, I think each of these community events they've done have been really, really slick presentations. So it's big kudos for that. You know, they do presentation well. The designs of the cards I thought were fantastic, especially the fact there's going to be these dynamic image ones where they're going to be almost, you know, kind of gameplay ones as opposed to just the headshot ones. I thought that would be a nice wee touch later in the year when they come around. Obviously, they were interviewing the basketball guy and they were kind of talking about college records getting broken and things. So to be perfectly honest, I skip past that because I was trying to get to the meat and bones of the presentation. But for me, that came down in that little 4-minute video that I retweeted and then I sent over to you earlier on, talking about the actual gameplay. And I think that the gameplay itself has really intrigued both of us, in the fact that rather than, you know, just being able to open the wallet and buy as much as you like and buy all the top players and put them into a lineup, can't do that. They've actually set this points cap gameplay style, which I'm very intrigued by it. And I think it's something that it gives you so many avenues. You could buy 3 worldy players and put them in 2 zeros. Or do you break it down across them all? Do you weight it slightly higher for your good players and lower for your, you know, there's lots of strategies, but it's going to require a lot of, you know, scouting and trading and things like that. I think they've really nailed it with this, to be perfectly honest. I'd love to see it in the football.
Yeah, just from the video, from what I've seen in the, it's contender and champion, is that right? Rather than challenger? Yeah, so contender and champion. Is it champion that you get the MVP where it doesn't reduce your score?
Yeah.
So that's your one for, obviously, if you do want to spend that bit bigger budget on your main MVP,
yeah,
I'm guessing you spend whatever you want to spend as your main card, and then the rest of your 5-man team. So that's 4 players for, is it 200 points?
Well, let me just bring it up here because I'm actually on the game week just now. So,
or is it 100 for that one, maybe?
It's 120 for the champion. Okay. So that excludes your MVP. So my MVP, I've got Kyrie Irving, which is a name I actually do recognise. Couldn't tell you where he played other than it says it on his card. But that card's not going to count towards my cap. So my other 4 players have to come in under 120. Mm-hmm. And I can enter that team in. So this is just the I was about to say casual, but this is just the common ones. But as you mentioned, there is the contender, but that one has a 110 point cap. So that's even tighter of a cap. But it is going to be, you know, all 5 cards are going to have to count to that cap. So it'll be very intriguing as to how it works out. And I'm keen to see, you know, do they start to spill any of these gameplay aspects over to football?
It's, you know, a complete no-brainer, isn't it?
Oh, do you know, could you imagine, you know, there's your SO5, but your maximum, you know, last 5 average scores can only tally 150 or something. you know, that would be a game changer.
I would think that rather than maybe imbalance the global rare, because obviously people have invested and people have been playing a set of rules for a couple of years. What I would think, though, that would be nice and easy for them to change is your underdog competitions can immediately rebrand. So instead of the last five average 45, they still use the last five average that's visible on the screen.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's, say, underdog 200, underdog 150, underdog 225. You've then got two or three different game levels of underdog. It doesn't affect your main global for the guys that are wanting to chase that and to chase the threshold. You've still then got your restrictions for your champion, your challenger, your Americas and your Asias, with obviously the cards coming from the continent or the area that they're playing. But yeah, just the whole underdog aspect, I think, is a complete no-brainer. Instead of, you know, because one of the biggest things for me when I'm putting my teams in, and I don't know about you, but when I'm putting my teams in, I'll basically generally have I'll be on the laptop. And I'll be quickly looking and going, right, okay. And it's obviously shown the last five average. And sometimes I'll have a player. So there's, like, for instance, right now, Borja Iglesias that I just signed from Betis. So on face value, I'm looking thinking, he's been coming off the bench and stuff, and he's not had a great last four or five games. I'm thinking, right, I'll put him in my underdog team this week. And if he goes, you know, and he's on the penalties at Betis and things like that, I'm thinking if he goes on and scores, then that's a great start from underdog team. So visually, I'm looking thinking I can put him in. And then when you go to put him in, he's just not qualifying because obviously it's not showing you the last 15.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm looking and going, right, okay, so I'm having to put him in, put him out, change a different striker. And I sometimes think that when you're doing the underdog selections, if you're not sitting with, for instance, say, Surrey or Data Fully Open or something like that, or an additional tool, then it can come, sometimes can become a little bit time consuming. And I suppose that's where mistakes and errors and people get thrown in for the sake of it, or you know, you just automatically look at the guys with the orange score, knowing that they haven't played well at all for say maybe 2 or 3 months, and just throw them in. But yeah, I think this cap opportunity with the reduction, and if they can find a way within the code in it, basically, you know, it picks up on the last five average, which I think would be the easiest since that's the display one on all the cards.
Yeah.
Then I think they're on a total winner with that if they do it.
I think
Nicholas, if you're listening.
Absolutely. I think you're absolutely right, in my opinion. I think that there was something, I don't think it could come in across the board, but certainly into those type of competitions or creating a whole new competition. You know, and it would just be another way that you can use your cards in a different SO5 format. And I think it would be quite intriguing. I mean, if you look at things like the Fantasy Premier League or, you know, a lot of the American platforms that do, you know, have like a basketball fantasy league or things like that, or baseball, there is a salary cap or a spending cap. You know, even if you go all the way back to Sun Dream Team back in the early 90s, you had a maximum. Here's your £10 million you could spend on these players. You can't just willy-nilly just buy everyone. And yes, I did just say willy-nilly. So it gave you the opportunity to, you know, use your skills. You know, do you spend heavy on one player and then lower on the others, or how do you work that? So it does open a whole level of strategy to actually go and have a proper dig around on the platform and figure out what's the best for you. And if you could do that with the football as well, I'd be all for it. It'd be another one easy just to, you know, it would be probably high on the priorities to do, because I think for guys like us, Ross, that do a lot of scouting, are constantly looking at things, it would definitely pique my interest.
Yeah, I would really like to see, I'll just put it out there, I would like to see it replace underdog, the two underdog competitions that have been kind of there for the rares. I think I would just love to see underdog, I don't know, but there's us, you know, we've been obviously doing it with a sort of monetary value as such, but underdog total score, underdog 200 and underdog 220, so that, you know, you are still, it can't be too low, because obviously you're wanting to buy players that generally you might use in other competitions for getting to thresholds. Yeah. And obviously you're looking at 205 and 250 points. But if it's underdog competitions where the last averages are, say, like maybe 175 and 200 or something all in, I think that could be really interesting. I think it would be a good wee addition to the game. And I think it would also clear up maybe some of the confusion and some of the, I just sometimes find it a wee bit off-putting trying to work out the underdog teams and things. You know, it's not so bad with a specialist, but The underdog, I just sometimes find it a wee bit confusing myself, even after all the research.
I liked the when the underdog was down as far as, you know, it was under 40 as opposed to under 50, because, I mean, I've seen teams tonight, you know, we had a wee look because, you know, one of your work colleagues is currently sitting high in the underdog rares. And we had a look at some of the teams at the bottom, and you're looking at teams that have got Andy Robertson and Javi and things like that in it, and you're like, seriously, that how's that in an underdog? So I would like to see it back to the 40 as a standalone competition on its own anyway. But yeah, I think I would like to see it possibly replaced, as you say, and I think that would be a big way of doing so. But speaking of, you know, have you had a look at any of the cards as of yet, or are you still... It's going to probably find some time for research, probably.
I've basically seen what a lot of the guys in the community have been sharing on Twitter, obviously. So there was a wee bit around some of the big rare cards that have sold, and I kind of looked and seen some of the values and things. Openly, obviously, we had a very brief sort of 1 minute look there just at the live market there just before we came on air. Yeah. We've seen some cards finishing in the rares at around about sort of £25, £30, but then quite a lot sort of ending round about the £100 mark at the moment. I would like to think, one thing, I'm definitely going to build a team, and I know obviously I'm looking on the community, and you know, obviously we've been talking about it live here just now, and I've just went onto Twitter, and there's a couple of, you know, other sort of community members speaking about basketball, and a couple of other football podcasts as well, they're speaking about it. So, do you know what, it has, it's piqued everybody's interest. Yeah. I've been playing the baseball only with common. I've never bought a sort of limited or sort of paid card in common. So I've been playing that with common, and I can't see myself investing in that. But I can see myself building. I don't know if it's going to be limited or rare yet. Probably on cost, I would think it's more likely to be just one limited team. Mm-hmm. It's going to be complete potluck because I don't know, and I'm not going to spend any time researching basketball. I'm going to be one of these guys that just actually
plays blind,
gets five or six cards, and just goes in blind. And sometimes that works, as we know, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking at you know, because I believe it's the last 10 for the averages that they've got in the basketball one. So I'm looking at the last 10, thinking, okay, if I've got to get a cap of 120, say, or 110. I'm going to be needing to look around a certain, you know, a certain 20 to 30 point, you know, total. So I'm having a look at some of these, and there are some big players, and I'm guessing these are players that are more household names and things like that. And, you know, there's a boy here, Donovan Mitchell, who's sitting at 85 quid for his limited with like 20 seconds to go. And, you know, that I'm seeing quite a lot are going in the 20s and 30 quids, but then I'm also seeing a lot that are coming, you know, in 10 to 15. So yeah, I'd probably be sitting in that lower bracket because I don't know enough, as you say, to go and invest heavy in it. But I love the card designs. I think the card designs blow the football ones so far out the water. They're just so much nicer, I think. You know, the headshots are just, it's all just much better, mm-hmm. Especially this season's ones. As we discussed way back on episode one, I'm not the biggest fan of this season's cards in the football. I'm not a big fan of the designs, but hey ho, it is what we have.
So you may well be switching from Smart Bank to Space Jam.
Space Jam. Well, there's a film, but let's not reference any songs from it. So let's have a little look at going back to football, because that's probably what most folk have tuned into. But I think it's important to talk about the wider thing, you know, the wider, you know, Serie A platform when big things like this are happening. And especially,
they've done a good job this week.
Yeah.
They've done a good job this week. So it's good for football. It's good for baseball. It's good for basketball. It's good for the brand. It's good for the company, just all in general. So yeah looking at the underdog, just before we kind of do go into the football, mm-hmm. You mentioned there, obviously, my good friend and workmate. Yeah. So Calvin Godfrey Goat, currently with Clubby Book FC.
I did notice his team name.
that was me that chose that. I'd like to say probably I'm like Calvin or openly confess, he doesn't have a lot of time to research, so I'm kind of like his director of football, and I've been telling him that Conan Jocelyn was going to come good for about the best part of a year, and he's patiently sat, and then sure as fate, I messaged him on Sunday, I think it was, and he said, I've got some ETH to spend, what do you think? And I said, do you know what, I really, really fancy Steph Peters to continue his good form. And he's, you know, obviously he scores well in Challenger Europe in a struggling team at UPenn. And I said to him, I said, oh, do you know what? Let me go and see if he can pick him up. And I think he got him for less than £100. And he's currently sitting second in Underdog. Calvin's got a gallery, I would think, maybe of about 25 to 30 rares, mostly all sort of mid to lower value. There's not really any elite superstars. You know, I think he had Yossilou last year when he was on form, and he's had a couple of playing keepers. So I suppose the message from that is, obviously, you know, we obviously both communicate with Calvin. I work with him. I know him really well. But he's not spent lots and lots of money on the game. And here's him staring a potential tier one, or at worst, a high-end tier two, which realistically the prize he's going to get is going to be roughly probably about 30% to maybe a little bit less, maybe about 25% of his overall gallery value tonight, hopefully.
Yeah, well, no, that'd be awesome. I did keep an eye on it. He did send me well wishes because obviously we're recording a day late with a young lass basically. Having our very first cold, which wasn't what we really wanted to happen. So obviously we delayed recording, and then it's just kind of been one of those. So yeah, he sent me over some well wishes for her. And I did say that to him. I said, you know, I hope your team holds good. And it seems to be doing quite well. So that's obviously game week 3-1-5. And this weekend is, I think our good old friend Stone Cold Steve Austin would be proud of this one. It's game 3-16.
And,
have you got any key players this game week, Russ? We'll not go too deep into it, but is there any competitions that you're particularly looking forward to, or, as I say, key players or anyone you've got that you're excited about this week?
Yeah, what I've done, obviously last week I sat second to fifth over Saturday, and on sort of Sunday afternoon I was still sitting in that top five in the super rares, which has obviously been my latest project. I didn't hold on. I was a wee bit shy. I was shy by about 15 points of my first super rare prize, but it is only my third attempt in the super rares. As you know, on deadline morning, the opportunity to buy, obviously, my club, Dundee United's goalkeeper, arose for, I think it was 0.77 that Carl Johan Eriksson appeared for on the market. It was a guy that I've bought off him a couple of times, and when he lists, I seem to feel that he lists at quite sort of appealing prices. I think his name's Qatar. I've seen him a few times, obviously, in the game and in the leaderboards. Anyway, he listed Eriksson super rare, and I was actually shot in the market for a rare keeper, and I noticed it was 0.77, and his rare was going for about 0.56 anyway. So I bit the bullet, spent the extra 0.2 or 250 quid, and I changed my plan and changed my tactic. So I went from being in Underdog, where I would have been contesting the podium, and I put them in Challenger. And as I say, I was looking really, really good. And that was with Dundee United predominantly in my team. But they were obviously drawing Ross County. So to sit on a Sunday after the game was done, still in the top sort of five, six positions after a draw from my team was quite encouraging.
Yeah.
So, although I didn't win a card, I was quite buoyed by the overall performance. I think I finished maybe 45th or 47th, which was about, I think, 15 places off a card. This week, I'm changing up a little bit. I'm going to put them in a different competition, the super rares, and I'm going to mix up my 23s. So, I'm not going to have two blue teams because I do have enough cards for putting in a full team and then putting in an under-23 team on its own, but I'm not going to contest the under-23 super rares this week. This week, I'm looking probably pretty strong along, obviously, rare. My standard rare team's quite good. It is reliant, though, this week on Rafal Gicevic coming back into goal for Augsburg. He's been out injured. So, Goose Teal's been playing up front, maybe rather surprisingly, for PSV. So, he's been getting a wee bit of game time up front. And I signed Nicholas Storm, who's needing to come back into form, but he can't continue not to assist and score, obviously, at Mechelen. Lars Stindl's my captain, so I'm quite looking forward to seeing how that team does if the goalkeeper plays. I've got a couple other teams. Underdog Rare is a bit of a hit and miss, but maybe the man to look out for on that is Ole Romney at FC Emmen, who has signed as an under-23 striker. I've got my Blues going in the Super Rare competition. I've got a quite a strong challenger Europe team, and I think that's probably where most of my under 23s, of course, which is Gaetan Kuke, Boris Lambert, Obispo, Callum Slattery at Motherwell making his debut for me in the under 23s ahead of Dylan Levitt, I may add, and Jackson Maleka. I'm really banking on playing for Besiktas, who have got kind of, I think it's bottom of the league they've got, and play Sharper on their app, declare him as a 90% chance to start after recent sub appearances. So that's where I'm at for this weekend. What about you?
Good stuff. Well, I'm sitting with three teams at the moment, and I'm basically All Star, Second Division Europe, and Underdog, and it's all the rares. I don't have any of the limiteds anymore. The team that I bought as an experiment, the strikers sold. Was it last weekend? Maybe he scored a goal basically and he sold. So I was like, well, that's fine. Because as we've spoke about, my strategy is I'm having everything listed. And if things sell, they sell, and I'll just reinvest. And it's worked pretty well for me over the last few weeks. So my All-Star team had a wee change to it. I think there might be further changes to it, to be perfectly honest. But I sold my David Jensen card last night, which was Wednesday night. And I think I bought him for 0.42. And I sold them for 0.51 something. So basically, it was about £100 profit on it. And I had designs on picking up one of your lads, I think it was, Viviano, the goalkeeper for, was it Fatty something or other?
That's him,
So I was looking at picking him up, but then we got chatting and I'd already looked at Louis Boyston because he went into the goal at the weekend and it looks as though he's set for being the number one. Now, it is just my threshold goalkeeper. So I'm not looking for, you know, I don't really want to be spending £1,000 on a goalkeeper to play thresholds where I'm winning, you know, 20 or 40 quid. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. So I've been able to pick up both goalkeepers. So Sammy Bossett, who's just lost his shirt, and then Boston as well. And I bought them both for 0.42. So I'm pretty pleased about that. I mean, it's sub 500 quid and I've got both the players. So, yes, the team are sitting bottom of the league. They're currently 2-1 down to Anderlecht tonight. But in the grander scheme of things, it'll be long gone before relegation issues are a concern. It'll probably be gone by, you know, the time that the season, you know, kicks back off in December for Belgium. So we'll just see how things go. I did notice that the market's jumped up about 0.1 from where I bought him earlier on. So he's my new signing in there. The other ones, I've got a backline, Russ. You'd be proud of this one. A backline with a combined age of 71. Wow. I've got Masiello and Considine at the back here. Considine, who interestingly is going to be participating in the first VAR controlled game in Scotland on Friday night. So I've got him in there. I've got the Burgos midfielder Atienza, and I've got big Kevin Van Veen captain because they're at home to Aberdeen. Now, they've not been scoring many goals, but as we've discussed, Aberdeen cannot win on the road to save their life. So I'm hoping big Kev gets a couple of goals this weekend, Russ. I really could do with it. The second division Europe team, again, I bought the goalkeeper last Friday, I believe it was, Yol from Eibar, I think it was. And then I watched them on, I want to say it was Monday night. It's either Sunday night or Monday night. I watched their game on Premier Sports because they actually cover La Liga 2, as I've discovered.
Yeah.
And I knew they did, you know, the main La Liga, but I didn't know they did the second tier. So I watched the game and I was unimpressed between the defenders and also somewhat him. The second goal, he was really badly out of position. It was, I just didn't have an easy feeling. And, you know, I know that you had, you know, one feeling on Scandell, but I felt far more comfortable having him than I did having Joel. But then an offer came in and it was basically 0.12 more than I'd paid for him. So I sold him. He was gone. Mm-hmm. He was at the gallery. He didn't even make it to a game week, Russ. So I went back to who was my original choice last week. And now I've researched the Spanish goalkeeper so much that I could honestly feel like I could tell you their shoe size and inside leg measurements. But I've went back to Andres Fernandez, who's the goalkeeper for Huesca. They've played 11. He's played 11 games this season, and he has 7 clean sheets.
That's excellent.
So it's a very good quality goalkeeper. Now, they are sitting mid-table. They're just not scoring goals. But with him at the back in the goal, I felt comfortable with that. So I did also bring back Albert Gudmundsson after I sold his forward card without him playing a game for about, I don't know, what was that, about 60 quid profit last, was it last week? I brought him back as a midfielder this time, though, because his scores are really good for Genoa. Yeah, his scores are really good for Genoa so far. He's on the last five now of 61. So he good does card. Have a couple of DNPs sitting on that, but that was from a suspension because he got a red card in a game where he still scored 40 points when he was red carded. So he is scoring very well. So the two goalkeepers and Gudmundsson are probably my key players this week. Underdog is basically the leftovers. It's four good players, though, but it's going to rely on all four starting. Son at Levante has been in and out. Levante have just changed their manager, though, so I'm hoping that he maybe gets back into his position. Now that the midweek games are gone and the roulette of, you know, unexpected DNPs should hopefully be out the way. But yeah, that's my three teams as it stands. Before the NBA launched, I was toying with the idea of picking up a specialist limited team again, because I did enjoy the specialist league, just because of the rare aspect, you know, for winning prizes. But to be honest, I'm more intrigued by the basketball just now, and I might, well, just delve into that instead. So that's my game week as it stands there, Russ.
How many cards have you bought this week? Do you know roughly just... Obviously, you've been doing a lot of trading, and you've openly said it's at the moment kind of just for I suppose for the listeners, there's kind of, you've got me chasing more cards and not doing as much trading, and you're doing loads of trading and obviously working your gallery up that way. Yeah. Just off the top of your head, or having a quick look at your gallery just now, do you know how many cards you've signed and roughly what you've sort of maybe made trading this week?
Seven. I'm just counting them up here. 10. So I've got 15. Transactions from a week ago, so basically from Friday onwards last week. I've got 15 transactions here. Now some of them are in, but there's a lot of them are out. I mean, I've got David Jensen, who I know that I made £100 on. I sold Joe Newell, but that was to help fund my Fernandez card. I probably will look to delve back into getting a hold of Joe Newell again, but again, I still made 40 quid on him. Hannes Delqua, who I got as part of the trade deal for Joel, he sold for 160 quid. Joel was a 100-odd quid profit there as well. So yeah, there's some big ones there. There's ones that I brought in Jose Arnaiz from, he's the forward for Leganes. I was hoping he was going to be my Marcus Pink of the Spanish League, Russ, where I've brought in a boy who basically plays every week. He's fairly consistent with getting you your 40 to 45 points. He'd be good for threshold. However, he also does get some goals in there as well, or assists. So I brought him in there. I brought in the defender from Huesca because I do like a defensive stack. I've got the two goalkeepers that I brought in today from Zulte Waregem. So, yeah, do you know what? I've actually done a fair wee bit. I did actually have a Pavel trade, which was for Gudmundsson. I noticed he had one in his gallery. And Salva Sevilla had hacked me off because he cost me two cards. Well, he didn't necessarily cost me two cards. He was on the bench and was a DNP at the weekend. So he cost me a card at the weekend. And last midweek, I'd sold him at 10.59. And if I still had him, I would have won a card. So yeah. I just didn't want to see his face anymore. So he's gone.
And cards do that to you, though, don't they? Do you know what it's like? It can be quite frustrating. So you're looking at, what, maybe about 15 transactions and arguably £400 to £500 of profit in a week.
Yeah, and do you know what? I've gone back up. So I took out 0.2. So I was sitting at... this is going by the surreal date of valuations, guys. So this, again, it's not an exact science, but if we're going to take that as what is kind of, you know, people take as a standard, I'd taken out 0.2. So I'd taken myself down to 2.9. Now, if you go and have a look at it just now, I'm sitting at 3.04, and I've also got 0.1 in the balance. So I've added on a quarter of an ETH value back into the gallery, as well as having taken out 200 odd quid. So yeah, you're probably right, probably close to 500 quid.
Yeah, so I this week I haven't done, so I've my last 7 days, if I'm just looking at my transactions, I was, what I'd wanted to do, and I certainly started to do it last week, was I wanted to get the last of my sort of non-playing or cards that I felt weren't really contributing to me winning prizes out the door. I was just wasn't prepared to wait or hold on to some of these cards that I've been, you know, hoping would come to fruition. So last 7 days for me, obviously the Carl Johan Eriksson Super Rare kind of kicked it off, which, as I say, that was quite an expensive purchase. I complemented my under-23s with Ole Romney at Emin, who obviously I'm using this week. I signed Callum Slattery because he's been very, very good for Motherwell in the midfield, and he's an under-23 card till the end of the season. I signed Giakoumakis at Celtic based on the Postecoglou interview where he's saying, you know, he's using Kyogo for one set of competitions and he's going to use Giakoumakis predominantly in the league to lead the line. So Giakoumakis, he won't probably be featuring in any of my midweek lineups. But what I will be doing is I'll be using him over the weekends and see how he does with that. I was sitting in a predicament where I've been after, and I mentioned it a couple of times on the pod, I really wanted a couple more sort of the Dutch cards that are in Europe to complement my midweek offerings. So I signed Pantelis Chatzidaikos, the right back, AZ Alkmaar, who obviously put United, my own team, out at the start of the season, but he's been in phenomenal form. I think he's got 5 assists this season for a right back. So he was the best part of like £250. I did make a sort of re-signing of Nicholas Storm that I mentioned earlier on in the pod. I just feel at £250, if you've got the money, I sold him for over £1,000 in April. You know, he was playing phenomenally. He was scoring 18, 90 points every single week. I have every faith that Nicholas Storm will return to kind of that level of form. I might not sell him for quite as much because he is obviously getting a little bit older, but I'm hopeful that he will contribute. I signed Davy Klaassen as a midweek option. I wasn't sure about Klaassen, obviously, at Ajax. He's one of the very, very cheap cards at Ajax. But I went and had a look, and he seems to be involved every single game. He's obviously still involved with the Netherlands national squad as well. So that was an interesting one. But the one that I suppose that really I went to Pavel as well, and this is just an example, I suppose, of value. I spotted Danilo in Pavel's gallery, and I've never seen him in, for months. And our good friend Macker across the water and over in Ireland, I think, had been looking at him, and I think he's got him. And I spoke to him about it, and I said, yeah, do you know what, Danilo, I fancy him. I spoke to Lewis, so Spectre, about Danilo, and I thought, you know what, I want him in the gallery, but I've not really ever had the actual full eth balance to go and get him. And then I spotted, after speaking about him on the pod, Vicente Besuijen at Aberdeen, under 23. So he's a 21-year-old Netherlands forward. Been playing kind of sort of calm role, or, you know, attacking midfield rather than striker. But he's been, you know, assisting and scoring well, as you know, following Scottish football. So Pavel's sitting with both him and Danilo in his gallery for once at the same time. And I'm looking and thinking, right, it's time to bite the bullet. So I also seen Murray Wallace, the Millwall Championship defender. Now, I knew he was out. I think he's got a bit of an injury, but it is a card that I looked at as one of the most contenders in the Championship. And obviously, there's been a wee bit of mention around the Scotland national team and maybe been on the outer peripherals or whatever. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to bite the bullet and I'm going to go to Pavel. So I added it all up and it came to 0.86 in value. That's a lot of cash.
That isn't half.
And I'm looking going, do you know what? What can I actually send them? So I actually just basically threw together a deal. I looked at what I had and I just basically had a bit of paper. Well, I promise you, I had a bit of paper and I wrote down my entire gallery. And I thought, right, I circled who's untouchable for me at the moment and that I just basically can't bear to part with because I feel that they're imperative for me gaining any cards. And then I looked at sort of like my peripheral lads that I haven't been using in lots of competitions. And it was a case of, right, okay, right, he can go, he can go, he can go. So I ended up giving Pavel just shy, I think it was about 0.98 worth of a deal. However, and I've only got 3 cards in, I'm just actually trying to open up the deal here just to give you sort of full transparency of it. But I think what I'm trying to say here is that sometimes you can be sitting with cards in your gallery that are doing nothing or that are, for example, now on a break And as we know, the MLS and Asian cards have obviously taken a massive dip, and some of them will. But I think it's fair to say that there are still some that are holding value, that sometimes you're just looking and thinking, well, do you know what? Sometimes you've just got to bite the bullet and let them go. So for Danilo Bisoujian and Murray Wallace, this is the honest deal that I gave, just so that listeners can get an idea of what you're sometimes handing over. So 0.12, which was £135 in cash. I also sent over Marcus Llorente at Atletico Madrid, Giovanni Simeone at Napoli, who had already signed quite recently and then regretted, Jorbi Vertessen, who was going for round about 0.28 at PSV. I sent my prize that I won the previous Friday, which was a guy called Grab. I think it's Grabhar from...
I did see his rather rapey name, yes.
Yes, Pios Grabhar. So I sent him, and I think he was coming in round about 0.07, but I also sent him two super rare cards. One, which was under £100 in value, in Pavel Kaderabek, who had one really good game for me and then has failed to deliver the goods on the other two or three times I've used them. And a card that I was actually a wee bit loath to send, but Tony Vilhena, mm-hmm. who's obviously playing in Italy now. And he did me such a good turn as a rare card when he was playing in Russia. I was a wee bit sad to see him go. But I looked at it and thought, well, do you know what? Simeone's won me nothing. Vertessen, I had dropped the week that he scored the double, which was a kick in stones. Marcus Llorente has just been out with injuries and stuff. And again, he's just not a consistent enough card, even though he's at one of the best clubs in the world. The two blues haven't won me anything, and that was an actual prize that I won, which to me was obviously just, it's a case of I've not actually really losing anything there. And I've got three cards I really, really desperately wanted. So I suppose sometimes the message for me, just bite the bullet and do it.
Yeah, I think that sometimes it is. I mean, I actually got away with sending Pavel basically 0.21 for Goodmanson, and at the time he was 0.2. And there has been a couple of cheaper ones have gone up. You know, I found that bizarre. I think somebody's put him up about 0.18. And to be honest, as you pointed out, it's a really high quality player playing in a top team. I just feel it's a really key card for me. So a chance of, you know, a 38-year-old who might be a rotation risk because of his age, dropped him out and brought somebody in younger. And yes, had to send ETH with it as well. But I got a player that I wanted. So that was the long and the short of it. So yeah, no, it's all good stuff for us. So let's hope we can get some results in game week 316. Let's look at part two of our Scotland review preview. I suppose for the rest of the season. Last week we did Aberdeen, Celtic, and Dundee United, and this week it just so happens that the three teams are actually the Lothian-based teams. they're actually all the boat, two from Edinburgh and one from just outside Edinburgh. They used to be Edinburgh-based, but then, you know, some clubs are plastic franchises and just move along the road a little bit, don't they, Russ? So I've played American football at their old Meadowbank Stadium a couple of times. I think it was my last touchdown was in Meadowbank Stadium, interestingly enough. So let's have a look first and foremost then, Russ. We'll do alphabetical again, I guess, and we'll look at Hearts.
Yeah. So I put the charts up on Twitter, and I'm sure you'll have obviously had a wee look at just who you think's obviously had a good one. But just for Hearts, I'll just touch on the sort of generic stuff, and then you can kind of look at some of the players that you think to watch. Obviously, Liam Boyce was instrumental for Hearts last season as their top scorer, and he's obviously injured now at the moment, so won't be contributing to them. But that was obviously Hearts obviously coming back up into the league and finishing third and getting their European group stage football. They had a great season last season. I think Robbie Nielsen as manager probably exceeded expectation, I think it was probably fair to say. He's done quite a decent job. Hearts obviously playing full stadiums with their sort of record season ticket in recent years' numbers. The club in general seems to be in quite good health, and they've spent, for a provisional Scottish club, let's say, they've spent a bit of money over the summer. However, they've been rocked this season with injury after injury. You know, every week I'm looking to do the lineups for Hearts, and honestly, Hearts take me the longest to check. You know, I'm checking the Edinburgh sort of Gazette and all the sort of press articles just to see who's injured, what's new. And it's actually quite tricky just to keep on top of. When you're doing 12 clubs, to do the app updates, does take a wee bit of time. But Hearts still in the main, you would expect them. Like for me, I still think they'll finish in sort of the top six, and I would expect them probably still maybe to finish fourth. But what, I put the chart up. Any sort of specific observations on any surprises or who you expected to do well or what you thought?
To be honest, there wasn't a great deal of surprises, I suppose, for Hearts. I had a look at the chart. I mean, if you haven't looked at the charts, basically, this is a full tally of all their Opta scores. So you can actually look at a glance at a bar chart, which will show you exactly who's their highest performer for the season so far, based on the scores that will count for your Surrey teams. Barry Mackay was by far and away the top scorer. Now, he didn't have a card up until recently. But there is only one of his cards it's in the game. There's only one. Yeah. It was bought for 0.227, which I probably think is a decent price. However, the one thing with Hearts, and it has been all season long, because they were contesting Europe, and they're basically been playing Thursday, Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, Thursday, Sunday, pretty much since the start of the season. And they have done a lot of rotating, and there has been a lot of rotation, and there's also been, as you mentioned, a heavy amount of injuries. So I was surprised by their overall scores for their players being as low.
That doesn't include Europe, though.
No, I appreciate that. But when I compare that to likes of Hibs have got several players who rank higher than any of the Hearts players. But I think it's down to a lot of rotation because likes of Alan Forrest, his scores have been decimated because he's been rotated in and out of the team. Yeah. And he's also not played to his potential either. But Barry Mackay was far and away. What I did was I went on Surrey data and also brought up their average for the season, all told. So Barry Mackay's average for the season is 51.3.
Okay.
So pretty decent average. But again, there is only one card. So it's extraordinarily scarce and you're going to pay whatever that guy wants for it. Lauren Shankland, he's done well in terms of the scoring. But I think Hearts as a whole have kind of faltered just a little bit. His average has been 46.3. You can get him sub 0.2, which I think is a pretty decent price.
Yeah.
And Alan Forrest, his average is only 41.1, which I'm pretty disappointed by, to be honest, because I had big hopes of him at the start of the season. And there's a reason his card's been out my gallery now for weeks, because it just wasn't performing.
And he's a mid and a forward. Is that right?
Season's card, which was it was a midfield card I think I had.
Yeah, and now there's a forward card this season. So he's got two, yeah.
Yeah, so there was that. I'd just done the same as I did last week, Russ. Obviously highlighting the fact that they're sitting seventh in the league at the moment. They're overstretched with injury and having to play all these European games as well. Highlight for the season, again, I've done this with league games only. And highlight, I went with 4-1 against United, unfortunately, Russ. I thought Hearts had a really good game that day. And United were coming off the back of that 7-0 that game, so they're really struggling there. Their low point of the season would easily be the 4-0 defeat to Rangers at home, which I thought was quite a shocked result. So that's Hearts for me, to be honest.
Absolutely fine. Valid points. The only other thing I would add, Alex Cochrane has been pretty consistent, and obviously he's been relatively injury-free this season and things, probably if you are looking for maybe like a Hearts defender, obviously, Kingsley's a good scorer when he plays, but he's had a few injury worries. Halkett, obviously, is again another very similar, but it's just can't rely on them for SO5 at the moment, the two of them, the same with Michael Smith, who's even been playing defensive midfield and things, but yeah, just can't rely on them. So for me, I think if I was picking up a Hearts card or maybe looking at a mini Hearts stack just because of this, you've got a wee bit of midweek utility left, not much, but a wee bit, it would be Alex Cochrane that would be the pick. So did you have a look at Hibs?
I did. Hibs sitting third in the league at the moment. They have played a game more than teams underneath them. Which, interestingly, was the game they lost at Tannadice. So they had a chance to kind of pull away from the pack, but they've not. I'm going to quickly do their highlights and lowlights first, Russ, and then I'll jump into the players because they've got some really, really good players there. Highlight of the season I put down was probably the 3-1 win against Aberdeen. I was actually tempted to put the last minute equaliser for Martin Boyle against Hearts as their high point of the season, but I thought I'll go with a win.
I watched that, yeah, it was good.
Yeah. Low point of the season, 6-1 they lost at the weekend at Parkhead to Celtic, which, you know, yeah, you probably didn't expect them to go there and win, but 6-1 was fairly hefty. Now, let's look at the players, Russ. There's one player head and shoulders above every single player, and I think he's head and shoulders above every player in Scotland that has a card, or thereabouts. You know, you've probably got Jota, and maybe I've read about him. But
there are a few around him, but I'll be honest, I was always a fan, and I know that you weren't, but I'm now a huge fan.
So yeah, just going on, you know, cold hard statistical facts. Mine's is probably based more around the fact that he is, when he plays, man, he's one easy person to hate.
I get that.
And but do you know what? You see players like that all the time, but when they play for your club, different class. Do you know what I mean? But I think there has been talk, obviously. I think he's out of contract at the end of the season. I don't think Hibs are going to afford to re-sign him.
There's a good chance he's probably
going to move, and they're looking, you know, I think him and his agent are looking for a move down south. He might be well served at looking at the continent, because a lot of the Scottish lads are, you know, his age and around his age have gone to, you know, Serie A. We've seen Lewis Ferguson, Josh Doig, we've seen
Liam Henderson.
So you've seen a lot of players making this jump. But he has his, you know, when you look at the cold hard facts, take his antics on the field and personality out of it, a last 5 of 82, a last 15 of 69. His average for the season is 69.2. He's the 8th highest scoring defender in all of Serie A. He is the 25th highest scoring card in all of Serie A. And his price tag matches it. I remember when his prices were going through, Russ, and I sent it over to you and said, look at the state of this. I was like, look at the absolute state of this. And then that was the number one issue, I think it was, and it was before I'd really looked at his scores. And man alive, I mean, 69.2 for the season, and he sold for 3/4 of an ETH. 0.769 is what his price is. He has under 23 utility. It's going to be an enormous price tag. If you can afford it, more power to you. Even if you're looking at the limited market, his cards are still really expensive in there. But when he's scoring that consistently, you know, that's worth having a look at, Russ.
It's probably worth mentioning that it's Ryan Porteous that we're talking about.
Ryan Porteous. Did we not mention him by name?
No, you didn't mention his name.
Okay, Ryan Porteous, lads.
He shall not be named.
If I could step back in time and put his name at the start of it. Yeah, Ryan Porteous, sorry.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, he's been fantastic. One that's I've just mentioned.
Just sold him,
Joe Newell. Now, again, it was purely to help fund my goalkeeper. I needed an extra, like, 0.06 to get the Spanish goalkeeper, and I was desperate to get him. Joe Newell, average for the season, 54.5, and his price is sitting at 0.12. He's on most of the corners, Russ, I believe.
He is, and do you know what? He's a cracking player that would, you know, you would like to think that if everybody's fit in that Hibs team, he is realistically within the first 3-4 names on that team sheet, you know, guaranteed to play, no DNP risk. For me, I'll be honest, when I did the chart for Hibs, I kind of had an idea that Porteous would be at the top, and I expected Joe Newell to be maybe sort of top 5 or 6, and off the back of doing the chart, I genuinely will be looking to shuffle a couple of players, sort of remaining bit part players out in the gallery. I'm really looking at getting Joe Newell in as a kind of challenger option for when maybe Steph Peters isn't available.
Yeah, and I think it's a cracking card. And to be honest, even I didn't play him at the weekend because they were at Celtic, and he still scored a high 50s. I think it was 59 he scored. Mm-hmm. So, and that was, you obviously, you know, you're looking at no decisive there. It's just all round score. I'm just looking at it here. It was 54. 19.4 all-round score in a game where he lost 12 points from goals conceded. So it just give you an idea of the player there. So, he was one. And then the last one, Russ, One that, you know, Dundee fans still rue, as we've mentioned before. But Martin Boyle, his scores since he came back, 58.6 average, Russ.
Mm-hmm.
And surprisingly, now, this is a huge amount of money. It's a colossal amount of money, especially in the current climate. 0.39. I think that's cheap for Martin Boyle.
His total points as well, it's worth noting, is with two games less.
Yes, yes.
So he's played two games less. I keep meaning to maybe, like on the charts, I might start to put the amount of games they've played in brackets, because I plan to do these, probably I'll update all of them, like every couple of months, not monthly, but every couple of months I'll do the entire league and do it, add like another 6-7 game weeks so that we can keep on reflecting it and keep the listeners with, you know, who to buy and who's doing well and who's actually performing for your teams. Chris Cadden, another one.
Yeah, and do you know what? I actually just went with three for each team this week.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm just under them, literally just under them was Chris Cadden. And again, he's been just a really consistent performer. And I think he probably benefits from Martin Boyle there as well, because, you know, they're both playing down the same side a lot of the time.
Yeah, down the right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that can definitely help. You know, when you've got a player like Martin Boyle, if you could slide the through past him, with the pace he's got, he can get on the end of them, he could score, you know, you can get a key pass out of it. You know, there's a lot of factors in there with that. So, yeah, there was him. Obviously, the goalkeeper, David Marshall, that we've mentioned before, but his scores are quite low. I think he had a zero in the Celtic game, which, you know, has hammered his scores a little bit. But I still think a top goalkeeper, and he's still signed for another year after this season. So, if you are looking at a goalkeeper, I think he only went about 0.5 when I was looking at the prices. So,
and Hibs are still, I think they're still third in the league.
Still third in the league, yes.
Still third. So they were eighth last season. I'm going to predict that the next non-Old Firm player to score a hat-trick will be Martin Boyle.
Yeah, I could easily see that.
Will be in the league. And last season, the only non-Old Firm player to score a hat-trick was James Scott, who was on loan at Hibs last year. He was on loan from Hull City. So I'm going to go with it. It's going to be Hibs again. Martin Boyle's just going to beat Miofsky to a hat-trick. He's going to get one this season as well.
Yeah.
There we go. A couple of mystic mega moments for you.
Absolutely days, happy days. Well, let's go maybe, what, I don't know, 10, 15 miles along the road to Livingston.
The Tony Macaroni.
Yeah, the spaghetti had the Tony Macaroni Stadium. Tony Macaroni being a restaurant chain. I don't know if it's nationwide or if it's just Scotland, to be honest. But
I think it's Scottish.
Scottish-based. But yeah, they sell pasta and pizzas. It's an Italian-type place. Hence the spaghetti had nickname that was used once, and I thought that was just absolutely genius. They're sixth in the league. Livingston are a club that consistently seem to punch above their weight. But the league in the middle, from kind of say third to ninth, it's fairly tight. Yeah. And then you've got the bottom three clubs all on the same points, but they're literally a win or two wins away from being into the mid-table. So it's that close. But Livingston, sixth in the league. Highlights was really difficult because they narrowly beat teams by a goal.
Yeah.
They're hard to score against for the most part, but they don't score a lot. So the highlight I actually picked out was probably the biggest team that they'd beaten. They beat Hearts 1-0. And again, it was difficult to pull one out. The low point was easy. It was the 5-0 defeat at Aberdeen. That was a fairly, you know, and even in defeat when they lost to Rangers on the first day of the season, they didn't play badly at all. They played really well in that game. I felt like Shamal George has been pretty decent for them as well. As a budget keeper, I was tempted to hold on to my balance and wait and see what his auctions were going for. But obviously, I made my decisions. But when I look at the players, Russ, one that flew way out in front, Jason Holt, a card that we both spoke about way back in episode 4. We spoke about again in episode 17, and we're going to speak again in episode 30. He's a very consistent player. This season, his average is 52.3. His price is, you know, it's for a player that's pretty consistent, he's sent a 0.14. And that is kind of in that same bracket as Joe Newell, maybe actually slightly more expensive than Joe Newell. But again, just a very solid card, a very solid player. Sean Kelly, another one that we've both mentioned on countless occasions now, had a big game at the weekend where he dropped back into defence against St Johnstone, had a really big score. He's on a 50.7 average, but a mere 0.055 on the market, Russ. So you're talking just over 60 quid, 62, pounds, 63 yeah. quid.
For someone that plays every week, that always finds plays for him every week.
Every single week. And then one player who's actually missed, I believe, just one game was Christian Montano. 51.5 average for the season. 0.037. That is a bargain still in anybody's books for a threshold player. I think 0.037. I mean, you are literally talking, what, 42 quid? For that card. And I just think that's still really, really, really strong value. And obviously I did mention Shamal George there. I think his scores were pretty decent for the team. He's going to have a lot of saves. He's going to have a lot of shots against him. But Livingston have got the artificial pitch, which I always feel plays into their advantage. It's one that, you see freak results there all the time, I think. There was a period where one of the old firm, I can't remember if it was Celtic or Rangers or both, that struggled to get a win there. And it wasn't uncommon for Livingston to go, out at home against the old firm and actually get a half-decent result. So, just had a quick look there. His last five average is 52 at the moment. He's got three green scores where he's had clean sheets. So, again, just a hard team to beat and they don't concede many. Unless, there's those freak occasions. I think they've got Rangers this weekend, so that might be one where you might see that, but Rangers struggled to beat my Dundee team last night. So, anything can happen, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I think just touching on Livingston again, the one big change for me this season is Bruce Anderson obviously was really crucial last season and playing every week. And this year, he's not been, which has kind of surprised me, given obviously that he's kind of now back and would appear, if you're fit enough for the bench, you're fit enough to play, let's be honest. Yeah. So the fact that he's been on the bench every week.
And a team that's struggling for goals, let's not forget, they are struggling for goals. And he is a proven goal scorer. It is bizarre. I don't know if there's anything behind the scenes. I don't know if there's a contract issue or whatever. But it's bizarre that they haven't played him more. And I've seen on, Pie and Bovril's a forum, a fan forum up here in Scotland. And that was one where I've had a look at it. And I'm like, you could see fans saying, I'm surprised Bruce isn't playing. It has astonished people that he hasn't been starting. So will he get his chance at some point? You'd like to think so. I mean, I was holding him for the longest time and holding out hope. And I actually think I sold him for a loss. Because ultimately I was like, well, he's sitting here, he's going down and down and down in value and there never seemed to be any sign. And I'm like, well, I could make use of this money elsewhere just now. So that's what, he left my gallery at that point. So yeah, it's a bizarre one, Russ.
Yeah, especially, I suppose the only thing is the under 23 card kind of does help him with in relation to potential sort of future value still. But yeah, I can't get my head around Bruce Anderson not leading the line, playing off Joel Newbley, I think those two would do really well together. And I don't know, the one thing with Livingston is there's not an awful lot of squad rotation. They don't have a huge squad anyway. They've got about four left backs, admittedly, but they don't have an awful lot of squad rotation. You can kind of look at that midfield and go, right, it's going to be, Holt, Pittman, Kelly, maybe Shinny or Omienga if he's fit. And they've obviously now got young Stephen Kelly from Rangers that they signed that's had a couple of good games. So he's now actually coming into contention where I'm actually having to look a bit more, when I'm doing my lineups and things and going, right, Kelly's actually played really well this week. It could be Shinny that misses out, etc. So that's what I've kind of got in my head now. I'm looking at the forum, looking at match reports, player ratings, and seeing basically what the fans and stuff are saying as well. But yeah, interesting times in Scotland, and that's obviously the three clubs that we've covered this week. Yes. Next week, the charts for Kilmarnock. I know we should have probably done it alphabetically and they would have been in ahead of Livingston today, but yeah. I thought the chance to have the three clubs that are sort of Lothian, Edinburgh, sort of local made sense. So we'll have Kilmarnock, Motherwell, and I'll do the other half of the Old Firm, which will be Rangers Obviously, the limited cards in Surrey due to the licensing still, but that will be the three clubs that I will get up on Twitter. Again, just to reiterate, the charts on Twitter, it's the total points. It rolls from the game weeks of the season. So when you see it starting on 290, that's the game weeks from the start of August, end of July. The scores basically roll, so it's an accumulation of their entire scores. And when you see the basically the line stopping, it means that the player obviously hasn't been selected that game week. They've not collected any points. And then obviously the total points at the end is basically what you're getting for your money. So, you know, hopefully that can kind of help just for MD that's kind of struggling going, what do these charts mean? The last thing I think, Chris, that we've got just to pick up on is we've been doing threshold challenges where you won the first week. I went to check my original first week team, who didn't fare much better than the first week they played. Now, obviously, they're not part of the scoring for our personal challenge this week, but over the weekend, I had four players that were playing in the Americas, and you had four. So do you want to tell us how your four got on and what your accumulation of points were?
Yeah, just really quickly, I'll run through these. I had a decisive, Russ, I had a decisive in amongst it. So I had Carlos Orancha for Santos Laguna. He scored 46 points. I had Alberto Quintero. He scored 71 for Universitario in Peru. Franco Moyano for Argentinos. He scored 44. And then Jader O'Brien sat and picked his butt on the bench and scored zero. So I had a grand total of 161 points from those bad boys, Russ. So let's see if you can equalise on the challenge.
Well, I picked Brett Kalman, who was in the playoffs in the MLS, and he scored 64 points.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
I had the man that sounds like alcohol, Ale or Ale, that was at Mineros, and he scored 56 points.
I'm in real trouble.
You are in trouble. I had Alvis Powell, who again was in the playoffs at Cincinnati, and he scored 39 points to get your sweat on. However, Samuel Granser scored 63 points and gave me a grand total of 222, which would have been lower threshold for your four players. And that makes the challenge
it does. Equal. And do you know what? Samuel Granser was my other option. Remember, I said that in the podcast last week, but I didn't pick him because you'd mentioned him so many times. I went with something different. So if I'd have picked him, I'd have pitched you to the post by 2 points again. But however, it is one all. So we have not got one for this week because I forgot to put up a poll for said challenge, but I will do that over the course of Friday so that it's there so we can pick one for next weekend. On the next podcast next week. So I don't have anything else to add this week, Russ. Do you have anything else you'd like to throw out?
No, short and sweet after probably what felt like War and Peace last week. I think we were about an hour and 30 last week, and this week we're bang on the hour almost.
Yeah, right about so, the
hour. No, just once again, thanks to continued support, interaction on social media and Twitter. Thanks to everybody that continues to listen in. As always, if you've got any questions, you can either fire them to @AVFTDpod, or you can message both Chris at Surrey on a Budget or myself at Scotland Surrey, and we'll do our utmost to try and help you when we can have the time to check in. And until then, we'll see you all next week.
Yeah, take care, guys. Enjoy your game weeks, and we'll speak to you all again soon.